Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our weekly edition of Kosher Cravings. You're with Dolores Fiché of Food by Flavors. I haven't been in the seat for a while. I was attacked by that vicious flu that seemed to linger and didn't want to leave. But here I am back in the hot seat. So before I got ill, I was actually hoping to do a Yom HaAtzmaut style menu with you and share some of my favorite tastes and flavors. But here we are, Lag BaOmer, so what better day, talking about beautiful flavors, coming together, connection. You know, my philosophy about food is always about connection, sitting around a table, feeling relaxed, not being stressed about what you have to put down on a table in front of guests, but rather an easy, casual way of entertaining. Before we chat to some of my special guests today, I'm going to share with you just my hot water ginger. I call it my little hot toddy, and it really does seem to ease the throat. And as we're heading into winter, what better way than to start with something so easy? In a little pot, I just put in some cloves, some lime. I actually cut fresh lime and grate some of the lime rind. Cinnamon, I put in sticks and a dash of cinnamon powder, and fresh ginger, which I grate, and also put in some real little clumps of the ginger. Turmeric at the end, just to give that extra dash of flavor and to line your gut. So what this really does, you boil it all up, keep it in your fridge. You can use it for about 2 days, heat it up when you need it. Cloves actually destroy parasite eggs before they hatch. And so much of what we get ill with in winter, it's not really things that respond to antibiotics all the time, but more viral bacteria, things that float around and we catch so easily from one another. So the cloves destroy the parasites. The lime creates an environment where they actually cannot survive. Cinnamon prevents them from recolonizing in your body. And also it's always a delicious taste. And ginger clears inflammation. The turmeric at the end actually repairs the gut lining after all of that happens and all of that, those flavors infuse. So just an easy hot toddy for you to create at home and drink every day. One hot cup in the morning should set you right for winter. So while we're talking about cloves and lime and cinnamon and ginger, those really are my favorite spices, and I love the whole Middle Eastern, Israeli, Lebanese, Greek. It all seems to gel together as one family of flavors. Who really owns hummus? Who owns the concept of falafel? Love all these things, love all these flavors that come together. So I'm going to share with you a quick recipe before we talk to my first guests. Essentially, it's a recipe that's used for brisket or a piece of meat, but I use this type of flavoring for a fish, for a chicken, for a brisket, even for a hot cholent on a cold winter day. So what you're going to do is going to first create a rub. And with my rub, I use za'atar, at least 2 heaped teaspoons of za'atar, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 2 teaspoons of cumin, 1 dash of paprika, and I love the sweet paprika, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 dash of salt, and 1 generous grinding of black pepper. If you create that rub, you can use it on fish, on chicken, on a brisket. And what we do with that, rub your chicken or fish or meat, whichever you've selected, heat your oil in a pan, season your meat or chicken or fish with salt and pepper, and seal it very quickly in the pan until it's just lightly done. It doesn't have to be cooked through. Set it aside. I then, like in that same oil, fry 2 sliced onions. You can use the red onion or the white or any type of onion that you fancy. And then you combine other ingredients together, which I'm going to share with you now, and 1 dish, 1 bowl, in the oven, and there you go. So for the next section, we've got the onions, which are now frying beautifully in a pan. To that, add fresh Rosa tomatoes, 1 punnet. If you wish, you can add chopped tomatoes. I like a combination of both, so I generally add some fresh tomatoes and 1 punnet of chopped tomatoes, and for that extra zing, you can even put in some sun-dried tomatoes. 5 cloves of garlic, halved. This is crucial to this taste, so don't miss or delete that instruction, and then 1 packet of brown onion soup. If you want it on the sweeter side, you can add a cup of chutney. I sometimes use the date honey or the date syrup, which isn't as sweet and just gives a lovely flavoring to the meat, chicken or fish. 2 cups of water to add to the gravy. And there you go. You have a rub, you have a beautiful sauce, and you can use it over chicken or meat or brisket, or as I say, even in a cholent pot. So that's my take and my first recipe for the day shared with you. While we talk about beautiful scents and flavors from Israel and surrounds.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
My very, very special guest today is Batsheva Phillips. She has this delicious catering company called Let's Nosh. We're going to speak to her about how she started, how she got into the food industry. You know, I love to share stories on the show of people who love food and entertaining and making people feel connected and warm and wonderful around a table. So welcome to our show, Batsheva.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And let's hear a bit about you and how you started and how you got into food and where you're at and what your vision is. All these exciting things that people want to hear about.
In under 3 minutes, right?
In under 2 minutes. No, we have time. We have time.
No, I'm kidding.
So share your story with us.
Sure. So I guess you could say I've always been into food, as all, you know, everybody has been if they've got mums and aunts and grannies that love to cook.
For sure.
But for me, a little bit different because I didn't come from a Jewish background. I'm a convert. Okay. And converted in. So originally, actually, I converted Reform in 2014, and then 2019 I converted Orthodox.
Amazing.
And from there my world completely changed, because kashrus and not mixing certain things together, not being able to find certain things on the shelves. And I think that's kind of where I got to experiment. And that was, so a lot of people have said to me, isn't it daunting or isn't it annoying that you can't, you know, go into Woolies and grab anything off the shelf? And in the beginning, a little bit, but then it became kind of exciting because now I can create what isn't available.
For sure. And we have to adapt. We adapt.
Exactly. And you can, there's, you can almost make everything just by using a substitute.
For sure.
So that's been fun. And if you know no different, you're not going to know what real cream tastes like with meat if you make a different, you know.
For sure.
Use a substitute for the cream.
For sure.
So that's been, it's been really fun. Yeah.
Good. And where you at? I know you have this company called Let's Nosh, and I know you supply meals and dishes.
Correct.
And I also know you entertain. You offer evenings.
So that's, one of, that's right. All right. So we started off by doing just private dining. I say just, but it's a whole elaborate kind of themed dinner where people come to my home, groups of about, let's say 10 to 40, and they would choose a theme. So it would be like Moroccan or Italian, Greek, Mexican, Asian, all of that. Mm-hmm. And I deck out the entire area, and it's like you're going into, you know, Little Asia or whatever.
Amazing.
So between the lanterns and the umbrellas or the incense and the music and eating out of woks and that kind of thing. So I do from the decor to the music to the
wow,
the
so
food.
Wow, it's a whole experience.
It's a whole experience. It's an entire experience. And it's always, well, generally it's completely curated, the menu. So you would tell me if you want milk or meat, which theme, what you're allergic to, what you enjoy. And then I could give you either fine dining options or buffet. Sometimes when it's really close friends, they just want, you know, food
something
sharing,
delicious,
meal sharing kind of food. Yeah.
So please share with me, like your last one that you did, what theme it was and what you created for people.
Sure. I did. I had about 4 last week.
Okay. Wow.
So
wow.
That was 2 of them were, 2 were Asian and they were back to back, luckily. And we did dumplings. I did lamb dumplings, chicken dumplings,
complicated
chicken
recipes
and veggie,
this isn't
broth,
simple stuff.
Mongolian beef. No, not at all. Egg fried rice. We did lime and lemongrass ice cream and all different. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful things. And then the Mexican, it's, luckily, we've got a lot of Mexican and Thai things available in Kosher World and Munchies.
We do. Even Woolworths.
So that's, and I
really
think more and more. And even
us.
Woolies. Woolies has come out with amazing things. Even Indian. So Indian is my favorite, favorite cuisine.
Okay. So share with us your favorite dish and just how you go about doing it.
Anything with chili. And I mean, Cocoa Pops with chili sauce on top is, no, I'm kidding. Not exactly that. But
for
anything.
Sure.
I love heat and flavor and freshness.
Yes.
nothing brown. So everything has to have a sprinkle of something fresh, lemon zest, coriander, those kind of things, pomegranate, molasses, all of those yummy things that just take the dish, to another level.
For sure.
I used far too much olive oil.
Me too.
And the simplest things, and I kind of figured it out during Pesach because the first two Pesachs were so daunting for me. And then we moved fully into Chabad, so we took it to another level.
Wow.
And then I realized sometimes we just try too hard during Pesach.
Exactly.
And you can make the most incredible things with using the simplest ingredients.
I often say that with entertaining, I think people sometimes set themselves up for disappointment because they're just overambitious.
Yeah.
And truly savvy entertainment is really about being resourceful, about using what's around us, and about keeping it simple and fresh. No matter how many events and functions I do, I always feel that fresh and simple that's the key to success. And yes, people want to see something elaborate and something a bit different on a table. So what I try and tell people about entertaining, not obviously when I'm only doing functions, but is just to keep fresh and simple flavors when you're at home. I'm talking about a Friday night or a Thursday night dinner or whatever.
Right.
But do one thing that's a bit out there. So just by even adding, as you say, pomegranates to something, it just adds the color. It adds a pizzazz. It just adds a something. So
makes it look fancy when it's not.
For
you get focaccia and you put some balsamic vinegar glaze over it and suddenly you've got an Italian bread in front of you.
For sure.
I went to a friend for a Shabbos lunch once, and it was the first time that I went to someone that only put one dessert out. And I promise you, this was the most incredible dessert, and there was no pressure. And it was pavlova, but she had done red wine, pears and mint and pomegranate on top, and it was just incredible. Instead of putting out 10 different things and it's just too much, and there was nothing wrong with it. It was actually 10 times better. We had this massive pavlova and everybody ate from the table, just taking their spoon and having a bite at a time, and it was stunning.
For sure.
There was no pressure. It shouldn't be pressure.
Food should not
be pressure.
And also I say that if you're going to host, be generous with your hospitality and be there, be present for your guests.
Not just in the kitchen.
Not just in the kitchen.
Exactly.
People want you on the chair, not just in the kitchen. Yeah.
Exactly. So I started with the fine dining, and then we moved into Shabbos boxes, outside catering, and frozen meals. And then I do a lot of specialized foods. So people that are gluten-free or they can't. So for example, gluten-free, but they still want to wash on Friday nights.
Yes.
So to use more gluten-free oat flour.
Okay.
But they can still wash and make a mozi, and loads of things, allergies to this, or they can't have that, or they whatever. So I really get to experiment. And I think that's where it's so fun and that's where it's so different.
And there's such a
Because I am coming in with a different, exactly.
Yes, you're coming in with such a fresh perspective.
And then my partner is from Paraguay. So she's bringing I can't even pronounce the ingredients that she told me or says or makes available. We got one of our ladies to go into Joburg and bring out some kind of, there was about 20 logs on my dining room table the next day. And apparently they weren't logs. They were actually tapioca, tapioca flour?
For sure, yes.
But in its, I think it's mandioca or mandioca or something like that.
Okay.
So the actual root we had, so it's like a big potato, and we started making things. So I think the tapioca is the flour itself, and then the root is what we were starting, what we were cooking with. And it's just so fun to, there's so much out there.
So much.
And I think if you're just used to what your mom taught you or what your granny taught you or what you would have, that's kind of what you stick to. But they're really, kosher is not boring.
Not at all.
Kosher is not boring. And I think if you just, Google anything or follow something, you can get inspired or flip through a recipe book and see, oh, that's different, or what can I change that up for? And it's one ingredient that you change and it can, do amazing things.
And I also think we've come such a long way from 20 years ago. In fact, I did a little wedding last night. It was such fun.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful wedding, simple in a garden with beautiful fairy lights. But what I'm going to say is that someone came up to me, and I hear it so often, and this person came up to me and she said, oh my word, I've never seen kosher food look so divine and taste so good. And I looked at her and I said,
beautiful.
Wow. Sure. There's no reason kosher food should be exactly the same as other food. There should be no reason why it's different. In fact, it should be better. you know.
It should be better. There's like a holiness behind it. And that's also my thing. Like, why? We don't deserve any less.
For sure.
Why can't we
and
have
also,
restaurants that are as beautiful?
Absolutely. And we'll get to restaurants just now because I'm going to talk to somebody who's just starting something. But what I also wanted to say was, when I started many years ago, my whole philosophy was, I didn't want people to only use me because I was kosher. I just wanted delicious food. And that should be the reason. And I have to say, I do have customers and clients from all nationalities in across Johannesburg. And I do corporates. And they don't always know that it's kosher, you know?
Yeah.
So, and they shouldn't. They
shouldn't have to.
To
limit
it just
yourself.
Should be as delicious as anything else.
Totally.
Yeah. So what's your go-to meal? Yeah, what's your favorite kind of food? You said Indian.
Definitely Indian, a yummy curry, something warm and homey that just feels like love, love in a bowl.
Yes.
I also love cheese and dairy though. Yes. So I do these little, my kids love it. You make almost like a mashed potato and you put cheese on the inside and then the mashed potato egg, you egg wash it, put it into crumbs, deep fry it, and you have that with like a sweet chili sauce. And as you bite into it, the cheese like
just
oozes out.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
it's
my
just,
kind of food.
Yeah, exactly. It's just food that makes you feel good.
For
it doesn't
sure.
have to be complicated. It's
I always
just,
say that. It's the same as I always say to people, if you take a few wedges of brie, I know we don't always get the kosher huge brie, but take a few, pile them up, throw over some nuts, some honey, a sprig of rosemary, some roast nuts, a little bit of chili flakes, and there you have a beautiful presentation for a brunch, for a Sunday morning, for anything.
Stunning.
And it's so simple to just go that extra mile and just create something beautiful.
Right. And it's one ingredient. It's one piece of cheese and you've just made it look. I think it's the thing is that we see with our eyes first.
For sure.
And when you see something beautiful, it almost tastes beautiful.
So my son always says the menu ain't the meal, which you also have to think about because I always say it has to, I always say to my team, it has to taste as good as it looks. It can't just look good.
Totally. Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
And but food is just, I always say, through all strife, through wars, through dark times, we put food on the table, we celebrate with people. That's the beauty of what we do. We feed and nourish and hopefully, just imbue a table with just love and connection. That's always my philosophy.
Well, that's it. I think, that's breaking bread with anybody kind of brings everybody together.
Great.
That's very special.
It's so nice to chat with you. I have been speaking to Batsheva Phillips of Let's Nosh. There we have it. A beautiful kosher experience right on our doorstep in Johannesburg. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good day.
You
God
too.
Bless.
Bye. So there we were talking to Batsheva Phillips about delicious flavors and what she's creating. And as I say, my philosophy is always that kosher should be just as good, just as exciting, just as delicious as anything else. We were talking about curries, so it's just made me think about a very simple curry that I do. And of course, when I do a special curry for functions, I love popping the seeds, the fennel, the mustard seeds with a bit of garlic with oil, in a little bit of oil in a pot. And there we go. And we have a beautiful, we just have a beautiful start to a masala paste or curry powder. Add in some garam masala. But I'm going to share with you a quick and easy recipe, which again, you can use for fish or chicken. So if I'm doing it with chicken, I love to use chicken portions because I feel that the thighs, if you want something off the bone, you can, but the thighs always just give a delicious flavor to a curry. So I love using chicken thighs. And of course, you can use chicken breasts, which you can cut into pieces if you don't want the bones and if you want a cleaner feel. If you're using fish, you can use any white fish, any line fish, hake or sea bass or anything that works for you and in your kitchen. So there we going to take, you would take some olive oil, about 1 to 2 tablespoons, 1 onion, a teaspoon of minced garlic, a tablespoon of fresh ginger grated, a generous handful of fresh coriander. I love to add a little bit of Italian parsley to that too, just to temper the coriander. 2 heaped tablespoons of any masala paste or curry powder that you can find. There are so many varieties available at Woolworths and in other places. Of course, as I say, you can make your own, but let's just go with an easy weekday meal. So there you would take 2 tablespoons of heaped of masala paste or curry powder, a tin of chopped tomatoes, 2 tablespoons of chutney. And then if you're going to be doing it for fish, for a dairy meal, you could use 1 cup of plain yogurt And if you're going to do it for a chicken dish, you could use any non-dairy or soya cream or coconut cream or something similar. Always a generous sprinkling of coarse salt and black pepper. You would heat the oil in a large pot, add your onion, garlic, ginger, and sauté lightly just until softened and all the flavors start blending. Then season with your sprinkling of salt. Add your tikka masala paste and stir to mix in with the onion and all the other ingredients. After that, add your tin of tomatoes. You can use fresh or tinned, but for this one I'm saying tinned because we're talking about an easy weekday meal. Simmer this for about 10 to 15 minutes. Add your torn coriander. Remove from the pot and pulse with a hand blender. Not to get it too smooth, but just to get just the rough little pieces out the way. And there you've got a delicious, chunky, but smooth curry sauce. Lastly, you can add your chutney. And if, as we said, you could add your yogurt or your non-dairy coconut cream. Adjust your seasoning to your palate and to your tastes. I then add in my chicken or fish or whatever I'm doing and simmer for a few minutes until everything cooked through. So, of course, if I'm doing chicken, I would have pre-cooked it. So I would have lightly browned my chicken and then I would throw my sauce over and let it bake in the oven or in a pot on a stove. Serve this with basmati rice or a yellow infused jasmine rice or whatever tickles your fancy. To make your rice just more exciting, you could add in a tin of lentils or some pomegranates, some torn herbs. And again, that just gives an exciting edge to what could be just white rice. But sometimes I find that just plain white basmati rice just goes so deliciously with a curry. And of course, while we're doing that, we need some kind of salad that goes with it. So there I would take 2 tins of mandarins, a generous handful of pepper juice, which you've drained and chopped, a cup of soy sauce, a tablespoon of brown sugar or honey, some salt and pepper, add to that some chopped fresh cucumber, and 1 tomato chopped fresh. So there you've got your mandarins with pepper juice with some tomato, cucumber, and to that you're going to add 1/4 cup of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of brown sugar or honey, as I mentioned. I love to add the honey. And just for your own flavor, you can add some fresh garlic, some grated ginger, and some chili flakes. This really packs a delicious punch, so be mindful of how much chili you add in. But so delicious with a curry dish for a weekday meal or a special meal or a Friday night or a lunch, whatever. There you go with a delicious curry, which set our taste buds going after we had been speaking to Batsheva about her favorite food.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Whew, we've been talking food, we've been talking flavors, we've been talking about all delicious herbs and spices, Indian, Moroccan. And before we get ahead of ourselves and before we get ahead into winter, I'm going to talk to Vicky Berenger. Have I got your name right, Vicky?
Yes, that's absolutely perfect.
Great. We're going to talk to Vicky about eating and filling ourselves with all the healthy things that we need to fill ourselves with as winter approaches. We all seem to be reaching too many times for that fridge door and sometimes going for the wrong types of food. So before we launch into that, tell us a bit about yourself. And do you have a speciality? I know you're a dietitian, but what's your love? What do you focus on? Or do you just go across the broad spectrum of dietetics?
So yes, I am. I'm a registered dietitian in Morningside in Johannesburg, and I generally do have a passion for all things nutrition, whether it's from your IBSs to your diabetes to, you know, the winter weight gain that you want to lose when summer comes around.
For sure.
I'm just generally, yeah, passionate about making nutrition especially easy and fit into our crazy lives.
For sure. And I think, am I right in saying that over the years, the focus has been more to healthy living and healthy eating rather than just being skinny?
Oh, 100%. You know, it's become more of a holistic approach, not just, yeah, calories in, calories out, you know, weight up, weight down. Mm-hmm. It's definitely become a whole shift towards health and, you know, also towards performance, you know, performing at work, in the gym. So it has definitely had a positive shift towards a holistic approach.
For sure. And I think today, even parenting is so much healthier than, well, I'm much older than you, but I think way back when we were all young in the 60s and 70s, it was more kind of just filling lunch boxes with whatever there was, sandwiches and only peanut butter or cold meat and all these things that we would never do now, kind of thing. Like we approach, I think parents approach kids' lunches and eating as a family so differently today.
100%. But even in the 90s, you know, when these things like Fruit Loops and things came out, you know, we thought because it had the word fruit in it,
for sure,
it was okay. No, I think definitely parents and I think kids as well have taken a big responsibility for their eating and actually realizing that if you put better into your tank, you're going to feel better.
For sure.
So no, it's definitely moved towards a very positive, healthy pattern.
For sure. So in general, I know there's people talk about intermittent fasting, but when you approach somebody, do you look at their lifestyle? Do you look at their day? I know that I'm the kind of person, I don't like to eat early in the morning, but some people say, well, breakfast is key, but it doesn't suit everybody's lifestyle or way. What is your take on that?
No, 100%. So I'm a very flexible dietitian. So what I teach you and what we grow to learn in my practice has to be able to be applied in your day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no point in anyone preaching breakfast to you if you physically can't do it, you know. So I'd rather then make sure the rest of your day looked fantastic. And then at the meals you were able to eat, you were able to choose healthy, good things, you know. If you are someone who eats one meal a day, you know, I might suggest let's try easy snacks. Let's try something different. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't work and you've really given it your best shot, there's no point in me dying on that hill. So, no, I definitely do a deep dive into people's lifestyles and, you know, budgets and, you know, are you traveling? Are you in an office? You know, really get to know what your day to day looks like. And then how can we make healthy work for you? You know, it's definitely not one size fits all.
For sure.
You know, and they often say like, oh, eat breakfast like a king and, you know, dinner like a pauper. And that also doesn't work for everyone.
For sure.
So, you know, we tailor it to everyone. We also do take into account what you want out of it, you know, and really try and make it work for the person sitting in front of me.
So I know it always seems to be that as winter approaches and the weather kind of cools down, you just seem to nush more, to reach for that packet of something that you know you shouldn't have. What's your take on some healthy snacks? Can you share with us some ideas of how to fill that gap and make you feel satisfied but not going for the worst choices as such?
No, definitely. And there's actually a physiological reason. You know, it's not just that we happen to feel snacky, you know, with things getting darker and us slowing down, you know, we're not outside as much. We definitely do reach for the comfort foods, for those dopamines. So I think the best thing that I can tell patients is to be mindful of it. The more mindful you are of what times you snack, what you normally choose to snack on, we can then put other healthier options into that, you know. At 3 o'clock, are you reaching for the chocolate? You know, is there a sweet craving or are you reaching for the chippies? You know, what else can we put in that spot that's not necessarily high in calories or an unhealthy snack? Do we need to maybe balance your earlier meals to make sure that when the snackies come around, you're actually feeling full and like you don't need to?
Yes.
But on the other hand, are you maybe restricting too much? You know, maybe you do actually just need something nice once in a while, because there is over restriction on the other hand. So we do definitely need to look at everything that's contributing. You know, is work getting more stressful? Is that one of the reasons? Do we need actually a bit of a distraction technique? But definitely be mindful of it. Even keep a food journal, write down what you're snacking on.
For sure.
And consciously choose healthier swaps.
So give us an example of a healthy swap. Give me, if I'm a chocolate and crisp person, what would you say to me?
So my favorite thing for chocolate bar swaps is actually protein bars now. There's a lot of sugar-free protein bars, USN, Nutritech, you know, there's Bearbells. There's so many options that actually taste like a chocolate, but have none of the calories. And then, yes, have 20 grams of protein. So you'll feel much fuller for longer. It also won't cause a sugar spike and then a sugar drop, you know. So easy swap is chocolate for a nice protein bar from a Dis-Chem or a Clix.
Okay.
Even on Takealot, you can buy them in bulk and then even just keep them around for when the snackies strike.
Okay.
In terms of like a savory kind of craving, if you crave sweet, I'm sorry, chips and things like that, there are lower calorie chips like Triggs or something even as easy as popcorn.
Okay.
Or a handful of nuts for a savory craving, even some Provitas with some cheese, or swap those out. And then the minute you pair it with a bit of a protein, so like some cheese or nuts or a handful of biltong, you're going to feel much fuller.
For sure. And I think if you let it settle, you actually, your craving goes away. But we always sometimes so quick to just reach for what we know we shouldn't be reaching for.
100%. And the key is always actually to plan ahead, you know, not let it be that you're like, oh, what can I have? And then you're thinking about it and you instantly reach for something that's convenient. You know, if you've planned and you have snacks packed, you know, you don't instantly reach for the vending machine or, you know, the easiest thing at the shops.
Yes, yes. And talk to me about, I mean, is there something in eating dinner earlier?
There can be, but it also needs to fit your lifestyle. You know, if you're only getting home at 6, 7 at night, you know, you only start to cook and prepare, then we just need to make sure you have sufficient snacks throughout the late afternoon so that when you get home, you don't eat everything in your sight. But if you are someone who gets home early and you can eat a bit earlier, the key then would be to go to bed earlier.
For
because
sure.
if you're staying up,
you know, always want to reach for that something or that little piece of chocolate or whatever.
Exactly. So, you know, it's kind of, it sounds so cliche, but it is about making sure everything is balanced.
Yes.
And everything works for your lifestyle. And just being aware of when you want to snack and then figuring out how can we make it a healthier snack.
For sure. And tell me, when you look at your plate, do you go on that philosophy of you should have X amount of green and X amount of this and then a protein, or what is like a, is there a rule or no rule, or how does that work?
So there generally is a very good rule to start off with, is that half your plate should be a vegetable, whether it's your greens or your oranges or your reds.
Okay.
Yeah, around half your plate. And then on the other half, you split it in between carbs and proteins. Then a quarter of your plate is a whole grain carb, preferably. And then the other quarter is your protein. But we want definitely half of it to be a vegetable, but not potato. Unfortunately, potato is not a vegetable.
Okay.
So something like, yeah, your spinaches,
is broccoli, butter, is butternut and pumpkin a vegetable?
It's on the fence. It's
on the fence.
It's controversial.
Okay. So what's a good veg option?
Definitely all your leafy greens, your spinaches, your kales. Broccoli is actually coming out as the next superfood. All your cruciferous vegetables.
Okay.
Yes.
I love broccoli.
It's getting
good.
The spot.
One healthy thing on my agenda. Good, good.
Okay. I'm glad. It's definitely getting the spotlight it deserves now. And then beetroot, tomatoes, cucumber, you know, all of those are really good. And yeah, considered vegetables, no carbohydrates.
So when you say half your plate veg, does that include salad? So you could look at salad as
100%.
Part of that option. Okay.
Cool. No, definitely. Definitely you could. A good salad. And then just watch the salad dressing because often then people load it with your
oils
fetters.
And sugars, yes.
Exactly. So you just have to then be mindful of what you're adding to it.
Amazing. And tell me the intermittent fasting story. It works for some,
it
obviously.
Doesn't work.
Or not for everybody.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not one who will easily recommend it.
Okay.
I often find that if people wait until midday to eat, they then have this kind of mental picture that they haven't eaten, so they must have 10,000 calories to spare. And then unfortunately, we kind of make up for the loss of the calories in the morning. So I often find also, once again, the cliched way of three meals, two snacks actually works the best for most people.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, it's not these crazy changes in lifestyles, you know. If you are someone who's never eaten breakfast and you want to wait until lunchtime, we can do that.
For sure.
But
so
I'm not
as you
someone
say, you
who
adapt to someone's
exactly.
habits.
Yeah, I'm not someone who, when you come to me, I'm like, right, intermittent fasting is going to solve
for sure.
everything.
And just a question about oil, because there's so much information around where they say the sunflower oils and all those oils are so bad for you. I mean, so many of us grew up on sunflower oil and margarine, and now it's such a no-no. I mean, do you have a take on that, or should we opt for the forever oil, olive oil? What's your take on oil?
My opinion is definitely you should not be eating enough of any type of oil for it to make that much of a difference. You
okay.
know, if,
so, yes.
You know, the seed oils are not the demons that they've been made out to be at all. But,
okay, that's encouraging.
It's not going to cause, I don't know, any of the pro-inflammatory disasters that they're saying online. But you shouldn't be having enough calories from any oil, you know, whether it's coconut oil, olive oil, any of those, for it to honestly make a humongous difference in your life. You should cook with about a teaspoon of oil and walk away. We shouldn't be pouring it over everything and, you know, having these oil heavy dishes, because that will come with its own consequences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whoa, that's a lot of food for thought, as we say. I have been chatting to registered dietitian in Morningside, Johannesburg, Vicky Beranger. Did I say it correctly again?
Yes, that
sounds
perfect.
Very exotic. But thank you so much for sharing your time with us today on Chai FM. We appreciate it, and we'll chat to you soon again. Some food for thought there, talking to cooks, to caterers, to dietitians, but everything celebrating food and eating, and as I say, sitting around a table with special people. So a very easy weekday meal, or even for something special. And as I said before, I love simplicity and I love using fresh ingredients. One of the go-tos in my household is just, we've called it a Lebanese lemon garlic chicken, but it could be Greek, it could be Portuguese, it could be Spanish, it could be Israeli, it could be almost anything. As I say, where is the origin of all these herbs and spices? But a very easy way to make a delicious weekday meal, but you have to love garlic, so pardon me if you don't, is to take 15 garlic cloves, 15 to 16, however you wish, a full cup of fresh lemon juice, have some potato wedges ready cut up, and some chicken portions. So again, you can use chicken portions, you can use breasts, you can use paragiot, which are the deboned thighs, whichever you fancy. Literally, this is a one-dish meal, which is what makes it so easy. I love to use parchment paper at the bottom of all my dishes, as you know. So put a piece of parchment paper into your dish, place your chicken down. You can rub it with some pepper and salt. I always do that to start, just some molten salt and some ground black pepper. You can add a dash of sumac if you wish, or paprika, or sweet paprika, whichever you wish, whatever you've got handy, that as long as it's just a little bit spiced up. And then tuck around the chicken pieces some your garlic cloves, add your cup of fresh lemon juice, place your potato wedges in, snuggle everything between the chicken and the garlic and the sauce, add a little bit of water. You can add some chicken stock to the water if you want. And yeah, there you go. In the oven for about 2 hours at least, or 45 minutes to an hour if it's, you've got a smaller dish. Let all those flavors just soak up together. And of course, serve that with some crusty bread and just dip the bread into the delicious sauce. So delicious, so easy. With some rice or some petitim, some Israeli couscous or regular couscous, and there you have a delicious weekday meal.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We've been talking flavors and tastes and winter focus of healthy eating and some new delicious flavors. And before we share some more recipes and close off the show, I'm going to talk to Arnold Foreman about a delicious new venture right here on our doorstep in Johannesburg. So for those of you in Cape Town and surrounds, you would have to visit Joburg to come and visit the Max Hotel, which is on Rivonia Road, and which has recently launched two nights a week, a kosher eating experience called The Table at the Max. So I welcome Arnold Foreman to our show today. Welcome, Arnold.
Adi, hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we're doing well. So I know you were so set on this vision of offering the community a delicious kosher experience. Tell us where it came from, how it started, and what spurred you on to do this finally.
Well, essentially, the Max is owned by the Hilton Hotel Group. Mm-hmm. And we always were approached at the Hilton Hotel. First, they wanted a shul at the Hilton residential site. And then they wanted a kosher restaurant. And unfortunately, we didn't have the space to accommodate a kosher restaurant within the actual Hilton Hotel. But it was always an idea that is saying there's a need from the community.
For sure.
And obviously, when the kosher restaurants closed in Norwood, it sort of popped its head up to say, listen, there is a need for that. But more or less, there's a need for a fine dining restaurant, an experience, where we've got a lot of international guests that come here and they want to feel that they can go and have great cuisine in a soft and elegant environment.
Absolutely.
And they just feel that they're in a five-star establishment. So what happened is the Max read his head, and last year around March, we concluded a deal to buy the Max, where we did a total refurb of the whole Max. And in doing that, there came a possibility to actually, in the refurb, create two kitchens, one a kosher kitchen and one a non-kosher kitchen. And there were obviously these three shuls in the area, and there was always a need where people were coming to us and say, Arnold, listen, you're in the hospitality, you've got a few restaurants besides the Houghton, and for example, we've got an African Pride and everything else, but we need a kosher restaurant. So I said, okay, let's have a bash at this. And
bashing we are. We're doing it.
And bash we are. But the key thing for us was to find the right kosher partner to make sure that our food is really top-notch. Just to give an example, we probably opened our doors about 7 weeks ago with just a soft tasting from people from the community to ensure that, first of all, our pricing was right, and secondly, that the meal was what up to their expectation.
For sure.
And what we did is we took that feedback, we then made it much more, we excelled on it, we developed, and we came with a great offering. And the biggest compliment that we've ever had is, listen, the Jewish community came back to us and says, your pricing is too cheap.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll look at that. But essentially right now what we're looking to do is say to the community, there is a restaurant. We can't – obviously what we've also recognized, to open 7 days a week, we don't think it's viable.
It's not sustainable, yes.
It's not sustainable. Plus, as well, Saturday you got your problem with the Shabbos and everything else, that you can only open up at about 6, 7. So therefore you won't be ready for the Saturday night offering.
So I think the beauty of this is that it is the infrastructure of the Max Hotel as such, and that we're using an amazing facility with a great location to attract people to a beautiful dining experience. And I have to say that as you walk in, I think people gasp because they don't know what to expect. And they walk in and they see just beautiful lighting and tables and tables appointed with beautiful crockery and cutlery. And already it just gives a sense of this is a different experience.
And the key thing for us is that we're striving. And when you strive and you're passionate about what you do, all you're doing is you're looking at perfecting the whole time. So we haven't, it's not 100% perfect.
For sure.
But we're trying to make sure that this is going to be the best kosher restaurant in Johannesburg. And we can only try.
Amazing. And of course, it's open for private functions and for events such as whiskey tastings and little weddings and 40ths, 50ths, 60ths, brunches, ladies' nights, book clubs, etc. So it's just lovely to have another venue on our doorstep that is so open to new experiences. I know also one of the winning factors, I think, is that we've taken a menu and matched it with kosher. And all my guests today, we've been chatting about that kosher food should be just as delicious and should have the same quality as any fine dining restaurant anywhere. So I think, yes, the chefs have made tremendous inroads in finding ingredients and sourcing to match the regular menu. And I think we're getting there day by day, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole thing. Because you know what? It's what we've found is that the people coming were just blown away by the food and the quality and also the service they get. It's proper 5-star service, like any hotel running that type of establishment, where your service and your hospitality, it's on the doorstep.
For sure.
As you walk in, you feel it's home from home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In a beautiful setting, easy parking. Yeah, it's just great. In fact, someone said to me from Glen Hazel side, they said, wow, it was worth traveling 20 minutes to get here. So I laughed. I mean, it seems like it's at the end of the world, but it really isn't. It's so accessible. And yeah, we hope to achieve great things and to watch you grow and grow there. Thank you, Arnold Foreman.
Thank you, Dolores. And what we will be doing is, whilst we might have a Tuesday and Thursday, I think we might have special evenings during the month.
For sure.
Where there might be like a smorgasbord or something like that, that just opens up to other flavors and other tastings, etc.
For sure. And never resting on our laurels, the chefs are working all the time to enhance flavors, to give the best experience, to listen to people and give new things on the menu week by week to see what people are wanting. So I think also one of the finest touches is that as people sit down and they get some bread and dips and a little shot of soup, they're loving that warmth and hospitality because it just sets the tone for a warm and inviting evening.
And I think the bottom line is, well, you mentioned a key word, listen. We listen. At the end of the day, we're trying to provide what our customers want,
absolutely,
not what we think they want.
For sure.
And that's the most important thing.
Amazing. Well, we're watching the space for the table at the Max on Tuesdays and Thursdays for now, but watch the space for special evenings and events. Thank you, Arnold, for giving us your time.
Thanks, Dolores. Take care.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We've been speaking to so many different guests today, from healthy eating to flavors right on our doorstep to delicious kosher cuisine opening right here in Johannesburg and hopefully giving people a beautiful new gourmet experience. But we're talking more about home entertaining, and that's where I'm pitched and where I want listeners and my customers to always feel that they can do it too. So yes, we all enhance our tables and we outsource. But I think, as I said before, so many people look at something in a recipe book or a magazine or on Instagram and say, I'll make this canapé or I'll make that main. And they're not realizing that they've just locked themselves into the kitchen and not onto the dining room chair, as I always say, where when you're being a host, you want to be welcoming and your guests actually want you and your presence. So as I said before, we set ourselves up for disappointment because we're overambitious. We have so many grocery stores, retailers on our doorstep, the Woolworths, the Checkers, the Fresh Fellas, so many people cutting and chopping for us that we really do not get a tiara for slicing, dicing and chopping. It makes it so much easier to just get it sometimes from a third party when we don't have the time. Of course, it's so rewarding to actually be in our own kitchens and to chop and cut and broil and do everything. But what's more important is to set up a beautiful ambiance, to create a beautiful table, to dim your lights, to mix a cocktail, have a welcome cocktail for your guests as they arrive. It doesn't have to be something fancy. Just be something simple, but by adding a lemon wedge, a sprig of mint or rosemary, some pomegranates, a strawberry perched on a rim of a glass, dipping the rim of the glass in a little bit of icing sugar, caster sugar, just makes such a difference. So entertaining should be with love, and it should be resourceful and not demanding on ourselves. As I said, outsourcing has never worked better for us. What's important is to just connect with people around it. Our table. So what I'm going to do is share one more recipe with you before I close off the show. And that's just a very easy pasta, which I found on Instagram and adapted to this more Middle Eastern Israeli kind of taste. So there, for this one, I used one packet of the pappardelle nests, but you could use any, the fusilli, the penne, whatever you wish or whatever you have at home. One punnet of cherry tomatoes, which you have, a small red onion, thinly sliced, two handfuls of fresh spinach, six cloves of garlic, again, thinly sliced or crushed, a generous squeeze of tomato paste, some dried oregano or fresh, some dried basil and fresh. I love using the combination of the dried and the fresh together, and some dried Italian parsley. So for this weekday meal or a side dish or a Sunday lunch, boil up your pasta as per instruction, just till al dente, as you know, and then create a sauce in a bowl with your cherry tomatoes. Fry your red onion in a little bit of olive oil. To that, you can add your handfuls of fresh spinach, your garlic, your tomato paste, your oregano, and just for that twist, throw in a tin of chickpeas, which you've drained, and a dash of cumin and a little bit of sumac. And with that combination, you just get that edge. So it goes away from that Italian-y kind of vibe and just gives it that new edge. The other thing that people often ask me is about decor and how expensive flowers and foliage is, but it really doesn't have to be. So if someone says to me, I'm in a grocery store or a greengrocer and I've got 100 or 200 rand to spend on my table decor, what would you do? So my first thing would be use what you have at home. Take a salad bowl, take some leaves from your garden, have your leaves arranged in your bowl. Over it, you can throw some coconuts, some pomegranates, some limes. Take another bowl, fill it with red tomatoes, red chilies, a dash of green herbs, and there you have two beautiful bowls for your table that you will then use. Colors work so beautifully on a table, so easy to achieve, and that's what I would do if I had 200 rand for table decor. Again, I love using brown paper. So if you don't want a cloth or you don't feel that you want to buy something new, have your brown paper strewn across your table. You can even use a cokey and kind of say, menu tonight, and write on your brown paper what people are experiencing. So easy. There you go. So it takes a little bit of imagination to go a very long way connection, sitting around a table through all times, through our dark times, our light times, shedding light as we're in the spirit of Lagba Omer today. I wish you well. I wish you happy cooking and happy home entertaining. From me, Dolores Fouché. Thank you.